This is file LH103, Jesus, the Bread of Life. Your speaker is Kellen Lowry. This presentation dates from the mid-1980s and was remastered as an MP3 in 2013. This recording and many others like it are once again available free of charge from the Ex-Mormons for Jesus MP3 archives. Their website is located at www.emfj.net. Very little in Mormon doctrine has changed since the death of Brigham Young. So even though this file was recorded some time ago, virtually all of the information you will hear now is as likely to be just as valid today as when it was first delivered. This file is not copyrighted, and in fact we encourage you to share this file freely. And now, Kellen Lowry's Jesus, the Bread of Life.
Next, we're going to hear from a guy by the name of Kellen Lowry. And Kellen, as I recall, he'll tell you himself, was in the church until the age of 12. He's been out a long time. He's 16. All right. And the neat thing about Kellen is he's working in prison ministry and in the drug subculture, down with Melody Land with their hotline and whatnot, and we're going to get some special insight from where Kellen is at. Come on ahead, Kellen.
Praise the Lord. It's my pleasure to be here tonight. I had to borrow a watch. Put that right there. Someone told me before I came I had to take so much time. So I planned for an hour and a half. Not really. They did ask me to share from the Bible, something I never had shared very much when I was in a Mormon church, I must admit. So I am going to speak a little bit out of the Bible. I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Numbers, the 11th chapter, and put a marker there. If you have your marker there, leave a marker in Numbers 11. And then turn with me to the 6th chapter of John. And you can leave your Bible open there, and I'll share a little bit about myself. He already gave my name as Kellen Lowry. I was born and raised in Utah. I was raised in a good, upstanding Mormon family. They still live in Utah. Most of them are still active in the Mormon church. However, some of them are sort of wayward. I was the black sheep of the family. In fact, I got so far away from the church I got saved. But it's kind of humorous. My oldest brother told me when I left home, he said, "What you do," he says, "the further," he knew I was leaving home and going out on my own, he said, "the further you get away from the church, the worse your life will be, and the closer you stay to the church, the better your life will be." You know, I finally got so far away that I met Jesus, you know, and that's tremendous. He's not a Christian yet. Anyway, I was raised in this Mormon family in Utah. I have 7 sisters and 6 brothers that are still most, you know, all of them except for one sister are unsaved. And I stopped attending church when I was 15 or 16. I got into the drug scene and I bummed around the United States and using drugs and abusing drugs and just living in out-and-out sin. In 1971, I was in Oregon. I met a young Christian couple who, for the first time in my life, after going to church for 16 years, told me the gospel. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Up until that time, God was the most impersonal thing I had ever even conceived. And after these people worked with me for 2 or 3 months and literally loved me to Jesus, I accepted Christ in March of that year. And right now I live in Costa Mesa with my wife Gail. Would you stand up so you can see how pretty you are? That's my wife. She's not a Mormon, so she's not as quite as elite as we are, some of them. But I have 2 younger brothers who are both Mormon missionaries. Neither one of them is saved. One of them, when he was on his mission in Southern California, after he had came home, he came up to me and he said, "You know what a woman told me? I knocked on the door of a little young lady and she told me, you know, you're not even a Christian." He said, "Can you imagine that?" I said, "Yeah, I can imagine, you know." But anyway, let me go on. I have a lot of love for Mormons, especially because my own family is Mormon. I wanted to go back. I feel that God's leading me into full-time ministry. I work now as a full-time lay minister at Melody Land, and I work in the hotline center of Melody Land. And I believe that God is calling me to full-time work. And I wanted to go back to Utah and get involved in something there, but I really felt restrained of God to come down to Southern California and prepare for the ministry, and God promised me he'd take care of my family, because I do want to see them all come to know Jesus the way I know him and the way the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. So anyway, I'd like to pray before I share the word with you here. Father, we thank you right now for the living word, Jesus, which came down from God out of heaven and gives life to all men who partake of this bread that came down out of heaven, the Lord Jesus, and was broken upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. Jesus, we just love you. Thank you that your presence is here tonight, God. Pray, God, that this service will be completely committed to you. And guard my lips, God, that I just speak wholly of you and your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I'm going to read quite a bit in the sixth chapter of John, and I'll be starting at verse 23. I'm not going to read every verse, and I don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm just kind of going to skip down. Just follow along as good as you can, because I got a lot of ground, and I want to cover it if I can. Starting from verse 23. Let's see. Wrong chapter. Verse 26. In the middle of the chapter, Jesus is talking. Let me give you a little background first. Jesus, the day before, had multiplied the 5 loaves and 6 fishes or whatever, and he fed 5,000 people. The people that who had ate of this bread, many of them came across the sea to the other side of the water, and they came seeking Jesus again because they saw a miracle. And so this is where the text takes up, and I want you to know that. And Jesus, when this multitude approaches him, Jesus says to them, "You seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." I want to say one word right there. No person in this world has any business worrying about what God wants them to do until they do this work. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's no sense in joining the ministry and going to Bible school and missions and anything until we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they said to him, "What sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee?" Discounting the sign that he had already showed them of the multiplying the bread. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They're referring that Moses gave them the bread. And Jesus, again, verse 32 says, "I say to you that Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." The Lord, and then again they said to him, "Lord, give us this kind of bread from now on." And so Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I have said unto you that ye have seen me, and you believe not." They saw the miracle, and they believed not. They saw him, and they believed not. And they're telling him, "What are you going to show us that we may believe?" They're not believing anything they've seen already. You know, it's funny that the unbeliever will say to God, "Show me, and I will believe." But God says to the unbeliever, "Believe, and I will show you. Believe, and you can enter into the relationship that God wants for us." But God always puts believe first. Okay, skipping down. Jesus in 41, for the second time says, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. Verse skipping to 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Verse 52, about half of it. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They told him. And Jesus goes into it more in the halfway through the 53rd verse. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Skipping again, verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. And this is one of the key verses to the whole thing. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he, shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Okay? Now what does that have to do with Mormonism? Well, let's turn back to Numbers and let me share with you a little bit more. First of all, God delivered the children of Israel out of the house of slavery, of sin and bondage, from Egypt. Egypt is a type of the sin that a man is in before he comes to Christ. God delivered his people out of that, and he sent them out in the wilderness, and when they were in the wilderness, God provided one type of food to eat. That one food for 40 years was called manna. They didn't have any variety of food. They had one food, manna. Every man ate the same food. From the oldest to the youngest, all ate the same thing, manna. Okay? After a time of eating the manna, we come to this 11th chapter of Numbers, and it says in verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? For we remember the flesh which we did eat in Egypt freely, cucumbers, onions, melons, garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And it goes on and explains what shape and color the manna was and everything. And verse 10, Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. And I want to read a couple more, and then I'm going to try and explain a little bit more for you. Skipping clear down to verse 18, part of the verse, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, and the Lord gave you flesh to eat. God granted them flesh to eat. He gave them quails that covered the whole camp for miles around. They went out and picked up all of these quails and dried them in the sun, and they ate them, right? And God gave them flesh to eat, but the whole month, they ate it for a month until it came out of their nostrils and was loathsome to them. And the scripture says, verse 20, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you and wept before him, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? Okay. In verse 33 of the same chapter, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague and called the name of the place, forget it, I don't know the name of it. It's too long a name. And then it says, because there they buried the people that lusted. Now, Jesus and John here, the people wanted to see this. You know, they said, well, show us. Moses fed the people for 40 years. All you did was multiply a few loaves and fishes, and you just fed 5,000 people their lunch. You know, that's not that big a deal. Moses did it for 40 years. You know, it was much better than what you've done. But Jesus says, hey, the bread that they ate for 40 years in Israel, the 40 years in the desert, they ate that bread from heaven, and yet they died. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from God out of heaven to give life to the world. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. Now, the manna, they got to remembering the food in Egypt, and they said, we had onions, garlics, and they went on, sound like bad breath kind of, but they had all this different variety of food, and they had variety. But when God called them into this place of separation in the desert, God said, from now on, you have one food, one bread. And when they lusted for another type of sustenance for their body, God was angry, and he killed several of the people that lusted. Many thousands died because they wanted a change in their diet. Isn't that awful? But where it says they despised the Lord that was among them, they despised the Lord that was among them because they wanted a variety of food. Now Jesus is, he was the type of that manna. And in them rejecting this manna, they said, we don't want, they're really saying, we don't want Jesus. Because Jesus was that type. And God got so angry that he killed them for that rejection. Because they were rejecting God. They weren't mad at Moses. Moses even reiterated in there. You can dig a lot more of this out on your own. Moses said, or God said, don't worry about you. They have rejected me. And because of that rejection, God killed them. Killed thousands of those people, punished them with a plague and smote them and burned some of them on the outside of the camp. Literally. Think, boy, that's a hard God. No. God provided in the wilderness the provision for their soul to keep their soul alive for 40 years. They rejected what God provided. And that's why they died. And a man in this world today who rejects or passes over Jesus and tries to add on to Jesus other things and say, well, yes, we need Jesus and Joseph and Brigham and this and that and the other thing. Those things don't give life. Jesus said in the same chapter, John, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. Okay. Let me run down a couple of things on bread. Bread is an illustrative of a type of Christ's life. Bread in the Bible, there was two different kinds of bread at least that were mentioned. There was common bread and bread that was called holy bread that was placed in the temple. Mormonism teaches that Jesus paid for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane when he wept great drops of blood. If he did, God would not have made him go to the cross. Okay. Bread was given as a present. Okay, bread was broken for use, and Christ was broken upon the cross. Bread was given as a present, and Christ is given to all who partake. It's offered to all, but only those who partake of that bread have eternal life. Okay. Bread was offered as one of the first fruits of the offerings to God in the temple in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament offerings and sacrifices to God. And Christ, as a first fruit offering, Christ was offered as the first fruit of all mankind without spot to God, the only, the one and only offering and sacrifice for sin that could ever take away any sins. Christ was offered. Okay. Now, my feeling on Mormon theology is very simple. Mormon theology is not satisfied with the bread God gave for a man's soul. They've added to it. You need, I memorized it from the time I could say my name. This is the true church. And you go on, I believe that this is the true church. And Joseph Smith was the prophet. And Brigham Young was the prophet. Mormonism And Mormon theology is not satisfied with the provision that God gave for the salvation of a man's soul. They are not satisfied with it. So they've gone beyond and they've added other types of food, other types of things to try and give us life or to tell us that, well, we have life by believing, yes, Jesus, but they very quickly pass over Jesus and say, but this and this and this and this. You can't, I don't believe a person can be saved believing that, because when a person is believing on Christ, he has to be relying wholly, solely, completely trusting in on Christ alone and not adding to it. Okay. A little more. So they lusted for the variety, but God said, forget it. And after God punished them, he gave them some strange flesh to eat. And after they had the quails, God punished them. And then he put them back on the manna the remainder of the time. They went God's way anyway. You know, sometimes we want to go our own way, but God will put us back to where it's either we go with God, God's way, or we're not going to go. You know, God's very stubborn. He insists we go his way. No person can get to God on their own terms. You have to come on God's terms. Okay, so some people may say, I don't despise Jesus. Or I believe in Jesus. But that's not just a question. You see, believing in Jesus is not just an intellectual assent that these things are true. That's a quote, Mormon quote. It's more than an intellectual assent that these things are so, or these things are true. A person has to be partaking of Jesus, reckoning that body that was broken upon the cross was broken for him, and partaking in that, dwelling in Jesus and Jesus in him. Okay? Praise God. Another little question I had written down here. Some people tell me, I had a guy told me last night on the phone at home, and he called me after hours from the hotline. He said, I was sharing with him a little bit about he needed to know Jesus, and he said, well, I can take it or leave it. And Jesus, you know, he said, I am the bread of life. I believe that this here gives us life, but this is just the book. You know, this is just the words. We have to have the Spirit bring this to life. But anyway, my answer to him is the same to anyone else. He can take it or leave it, he said. Jesus said he is the bread. Okay, if you can take Jesus or leave it, can you take food or leave it? This dinner tonight? Okay, fine. Well, how about tomorrow? Yeah, I can go without tomorrow. Well, how about for a week? Sure, I can go without for a month, 2 months. You know, how are you going to do? A person who rejects Jesus is starving his soul to death. There's no other way to get around it. Jesus is the maintainer of the soul. Before we come to Christ, our spirit is dead. When we come to Christ, we're born again, and Jesus is the sustainer of the man's soul. Praise the Lord. Moses said when they saw the manna, they went out there and they saw the manna laying all over the ground, Moses said of the manna, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And Jesus said of himself, this is the bread which came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Believing in Christ, except ye eat, Jesus said in verse 53, you have no life in you. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in me. Okay. Praise God. There's another scripture in John, the first chapter. You know, the Bible says, you don't have to turn there because I'm not going to quote it word for word anyway. But it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, Jesus has, the truth of Jesus has been laid out before a lot of people. But many people have never received Christ into their life. The truth they've had laid out, and it's been made known to them, it's been plain to them, but yet they've never received Christ. And it says in the first chapter of John, he came unto his own, he came to his own nation, his own town, his own people, everything, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Well, can I just join a church? Can I just check out all the churches and find out which one's the true church and join it?
Sure, you can join any church you want to, but until you partake of Christ, you're not a Christian, and you will go to hell when you die. But I'm a good person. What person in the world is good enough for God? No person is good enough to come to God. Every person has to come through the Son.